Well, hello and welcome back to Archaeology News Weekly. I am David Connolly and very sorry about the delays here. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, basically to save a bit of time and to move things along, I have cut down the number of news stories I'm actually putting into the podcast. However, there's a bumper crop, and I advise you to go along to Stone Pages to see the full list. The main headlines from around the world that I've chosen to take out are as follows. The face of the first European is reconstructed by scientists. A major dig at the earliest Scottish site has now been announced. And sadly, archaeologists bemoan looting in Arkansas, USA. Still in the USA, DNA tests have confirmed that Native Americans descended from a single group. And in China, the earliest known carving is found, dating back some 10 to 12,000 years. And finally, we report on vandal damage to cave paintings in Libya. Forensic artist Richard Neave used skull and jawbone fragments found in a cave to build the face of the first anatomically modern human to live in Europe. Belonged to a man or woman who inhabited the ancient forests of the Carpathian Mountains in what is now Romania, around 35,000 years ago. The artist's reconstruction, a face that could be male or female, is based on the partial skull and jawbone found in a cave where bears were known to hibernate. The facial features indicate a close affinity of these early Europeans to their immediate African ancestors, although it was not possible to determine the person's sex. Richard Neave, the forensic artist who reconstructed the facial features in clay model, based his assessment on a careful measurement of the bone fragments and his long experience on how soft tissues of the face are built around the bones of the skull. The reconstruction was made for the forthcoming British BBC Two series, The Incredible Human Journey, which documents human origins and evolution. It's impossible from the bones to determine the skin colour of the individual, although scientists speculate it was probably darker than modern-day Europeans, reflecting a more recent African origin. Potholers discovered the lower jawbone of the first modern European in 2002 in Pestera Cuose, the cave with bones, located in southwest Carpathians. The remaining fragments of skull were unearthed in 2003. Scientists have dated the bones using radiocarbon analysis to between 34 to 36,000 years ago, when Europe was still occupied by both Neanderthal man, who had lived in the region for tens of thousands of years, and anatomically modern humans, or Homo sapiens, who had recently arrived on a migratory route from Africa via the Middle East. A big archaeological dig is taking place at the site in South Lanarkshire, where the earliest evidence for human beings in Scotland was found. The bigger archaeology group is beginning a major excavation of the area at Howburn Farm, near Elsrickle. Last month it was revealed that flint artefacts unearthed there could date back 14,000 to 12,000 BCE. Volunteers have been encouraged to go along to the site this weekend to take part in further exploration. The flints, discovered in 2005 but only recently dated, are similar to the tools known to have been used in the Netherlands and northern Germany in 12,000 BCE. They were probably used by hunters to kill reindeer, mammoth and giant elk and to cut up their prey and prepare the skins. Details of the find were published in the British Archaeology magazine. Artifacts of prehistoric people who lived in Arkansas, USA, are being excavated by professionals who are trying to piece together more of the story of those who once lived there. Those artifacts are also being dug up by criminals. Dr. Julie Moreau, station archaeologist for Arkansas Archaeological Survey, wants to get the word out that raiding the state's path can be a felony. Moreau said that every winter, looters are going up to Little Turkey Hill and Hartner Knoll sites in Independence County to dig. Moreau said the Antiquities Act and an unmarked burial law protects these sites. If items taken from a burial site are valued at more than more than $2,000, it makes the theft a felony, which is definitely no laughing matter. Landowner Terry Melton reported to Morrow that the looters had again dug on his property, so Morrow and her team went to the site, where they found a female mandible from a human skeleton, as well as small teeth, parts of her pelvis and other bones scattered around. She may have dated back to the archaic period and could have been buried with some shells and a dog tooth necklace and perhaps some spear points that were found, again scattered everywhere. The site east of Jonesboro has been looted more than once by pot hunters. Some items are so valued by these pot hunters, either for their own collections or to sell to other collectors, that they feel that it's worth the risk of getting caught. Sheriffs and prosecutors should devote more effort to pursuing offenders who dig at these protected sites, but she acknowledged that unethical collectors create a market for the plunder. Very similar situation we have here in Britain as well. They're called nighthawks, and again, there's very little that you can do to stop them. Basically, educate people to make sure that they just know that what they're doing is wrong, that collecting it is wrong, that if they get found to collect these things, it is wrong, and make it more publicly accessible. For decades, researchers have been using a growing volume of genetic data to debate whether ancestors of Native Americans emigrated to the New World in one wave or successive waves, or from one ancestral Asian population, or a number of different populations. Now, after painstakingly comparing DNA samples from people in dozens of modern-day Native American and Eurasian groups, an international team of scientists thinks that it can put the matter to rest. Virtually without exception, the new evidence supports the single ancestral population theory. The work provides strong evidence that, in general, Native Americans are more closely related to each other than they are to any other existing Asian populations, except those that live at the very edge of the Bering Strait. While earlier studies have already supported this conclusion, this work is the first that provides solid data that simply cannot be reconciled with multiple ancestral populations. To rule out any other possibilities, the research team, which was headed by Noah Rosenberg at the University of Michigan, scrutinized DNA samples of people from 31 modern-day Asian populations, 19 Native American, 1 Greenlandic, and 2 Western Beringian populations. They found that in each sample that contained the 9-repeat allele, the short stretches of DNA on either side of it were characterized by a distinct pattern of base pairs, a pattern they seldom observed in people without the allele. The results also ruled out multiple mutation hypothesis. If that had been the case, then there would have been a myriad of DNA patterns surrounding it, rather than the identical characteristic signature the team discovered. I think this is one where it's actually better to go to the original report and read it more thoroughly. It's actually an incredibly complicated and sophisticated piece of work that they have done. So get yourself along and actually read more about this one. Chinese archaeologists say they have identified the country's earliest known carving, a deer antler sculpted into the shape of a bird dating back 12 to 15,000 years. The grey figurine made from antler is only 2.1 centimetres long and only 0.6 centimetres thick. It was found in Zhejiang County in China's central Henan province in March. Carvings of the late Paleolithic age have been found in Western countries, such as 30,000-year-old ivory horse and mammoth carvings at Vogelherd Cave in Germany and the human profile carvings at La Marche in France, that is around 10,000 years old. The bird figurine is unique as its feet are carved with symmetrical sockets that enable it to stand stably. The bird carving is not the first find at the site, though. In 2007 and 2008, Chinese archaeologists announced that they had found more than 30,000 relics, including human skulls dating back 80 to 100,000 years. Sometime around the middle of April, in an area of the Libyan Sahara on the Algerian frontier known as the Tadrat Akakos, 7 cave paintings from the Neolithic period, dating back to between 3 to 10,000 years ago, were vandalised with tins of spray paint. The caves are UNESCO World Heritage Sites. The crime was committed by a former tourist guide, a Tunisian citizen, whose identity has not been revealed since he was arrested by local police on April the 24th. The only news to have leaked out from Tripoli's Department of Archaeology is that the man had recently been fired by an Italian tourist agency, which had been present in the area for many years. The red, black and white graffiti, written in spray paint, and consists of insults addressed to both the Libyan government and the Italians. A mission from the department, together with colleagues from the Italian-Libyan Archaeological Mission, are visiting the site over the coming days to assess the damage. It's one of these stories where you actually have to ask the question, why on earth did you think you could actually get away with that? You may as well have written your name on it as well. Anyway, I seriously hope they're actually able to repair the damage. Now, as I said, there's a lot more you can find on Stone Pages. That was news.stonepages.com. You've got stories such as the 85,000-year-old village found in the UAE, as well as links between ancient Wales and Mediterranean. We are looking at Iran's largest rescue excavation coming up, and Skara Brae is being opened up again to the public, as well as a little bit more about the ancient Indus script, which may encode language. As it get along to that, in the next week, of course, we're going to be bringing out the latest edition of the Past Horizons magazine. So hopefully, by about the 15th of May, or it better be, because we're off to Croatia, you will have access to issue 8 of the Past Horizons magazine, which you'll be able to get along to at www.pasthorizons.com/magazine. Can I remind people as well that you can come onto my own website at Badger, www.bajr.org. And before I end this latest news report, I'd just like to say a big thank you to James Atkinson from Asheville, USA, who sent me a very interesting email, and thank you very much for your kind comment about the podcast. But sent me a very interesting email about a blog and a website that he follows called The Agonist, that's agonist.org, where you can follow the adventures of the editor, Sean Paul Kelly, who's on a extended around-the-world solo tour. And the latest one is an amazing size of observations and photographs of the site of Göbekli Tepe. That is that incredible epi-Paleolithic temple site in Turkey. It is very much worth having a look at what he's got to say and what he saw. So you'll find that at, as I say, theagonist.org, and then just follow the links for his blog. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again next week.